Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversations with church leaders about social media.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Neil Smith, and as always, I'm joined by my good friend and Lakers fan, Jay Kranda. Jay, welcome to the podcast.
Dude, I'm excited. We've had, just to be kind of transparent with those listening, we've had some ups and downs as we've been trying to get this show recorded for this week. And we're here, we're going. If you're watching on our YouTube channel, it looks like Niels is in the bathroom, but he's not.
I'm in the hotel.
You're in a hotel that has a bathroom?
In Orlando, Florida. This is a two-bedroom, two-bath. We're sharing a hotel here with my brother-in-law and sister-in-law here in Orlando, Florida.
Yeah. Sweet. A lot of intimacy.
Yeah, and you, speaking of intimacy, you just got together with one of our good friends across the border, Brady Shearer, for a baseball game.
Yeah, Brady, the good old Canadian, it was fun hanging out. I was on his show not too long ago, and Niels, you were on his show kind of like the first 35 episodes. I think you're one of the first. And it was fun. It was fun hearing more about him and his story. I mean, he's got such a cool company. Pro Church Tools, his academy stuff, so many cool things rolling out the doors. It's fun to hang out with him, and he has a goal to go to every baseball stadium, and so he hadn't been to an Angels game, so it was fun going there with him and hanging out. He got really good seats. He bought my ticket, so nice. If there could be a couple people that signed up for his academy to pay him back, that'd be great. So Pro Church.
And Brady, if you want to come to New York, I'll take you to a Mets game, or let you take me to a Mets game and a Yankees game.
I know this would be the time to see the Mets, man. They're actually
absolutely
good.
It's a good time to be in New York baseball.
I know. Hey, I'm just glad the Angels won. I didn't realize that his team and the Angels, like, we were kind of like fighting for the wild card a little bit. So, but regardless of that, so this week we want to talk about just getting right into it, Facebook live streaming, right? So this has been a brand new thing that's kind of been popping up. And Facebook live streaming, if you don't know, Facebook started to kind of, it seems like, directly compete with Periscope and all these other things that are popping up, just live streaming video. And they released it just, it seemed like, not on a widespread, but just for celebrities. I saw like The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, and you were texting me because my pastor, Rick Warren, was one of those that were using it. So what are some things that are jumping off the page for Facebook live streaming, Niels, for you?
You know, I just, and where you and I have talked about it, is what I saw immediately, and it was interesting to me that they made the stat so public, but I was able to see on Rick's live stream, that first one, that was the first one I saw. I was like, what is this? I mean, something like 500,000, you know, views immediately. And so Facebook is clearly prioritizing it. I'm seeing John Acuff doing it all. I've been following John Acuff on Periscope. Well, you see his traffic on Periscope, you know, maybe he's got 1,000 viewers, and then you see it on Facebook Live and he's get 20,000.
Yeah.
And so obviously now he's all in on Facebook Live because he's got a bigger audience. And so I think Facebook, just like they do in so many other areas, they can see the trend, they build it into their platform, they just do it better. Now it's not available to everyone yet, but I think live streaming is something you're going to see more and more. I think we're going to see, you know, video chat. You can video chat now through Facebook. A lot of people don't realize that, but I think you're going to see group video chat like we do on Zoom like we do on Google Hangouts. So video, live video is something that a trend that I think will only continue in Facebook. I think is going to probably end up dominating that platform if they do it well and if they continue to integrate it effectively.
And it's definitely, we were talking about this idea of how Facebook and our good friend Sean Cannell, you can learn more about him at youtubeforchurches.com. But Sean, he's doing cool stuff with video influence, all this stuff. And on the show a couple of weeks ago, he was kind of breaking down how, you know, the power of creating video for each kind of channel is so unique. So the same stuff that you throw up on YouTube shouldn't be the same stuff you put on on your Facebook page, or maybe the same stuff that you host on your site. And how with Facebook, what I see, and it's gotten me, like, how they, a game changer was the idea that you could be scrolling through your newsfeed and you could watch a video without sound. Right. And how you can kind of, and I even see some videos, and I don't know if it's the way that they build it or like a setting, but you can see subtitles even. So you can be in a meeting and you can be rolling through your phone, or even at night. I do it sometimes, like if I can't sleep, and, you know, my wife's asleep or something, and I'm just kind of looking through my phone, I'll see a video and I could watch the video without sound, or I can do the motion of tap. on the screen, and then it will play the sound. And I think that has just made the views go up so more. So it's another way of hooking somebody. Like, instead of them having to click on a link and then watch it, the idea is that I can kind of even preview it. And then if I want to take the next step, I can click it. So I could see on Facebook and the newsfeed, just that opening up, even that next level of like push, click for sound, it allows for so much more activity. And so Facebook just has so much sky is the limit, because they've definitely ticked off a lot of people over the last couple of years, right? With limiting people on views and all that. So I think that's so much more. And it just, you know, and Nils, share a little bit about the whole, you brought this to my attention. You can sell stuff now.
So I'm hearing that some major, you know, retailers are you're able to sell things within Facebook. And so one of the things I've noticed in the background is that you can actually pay money individual to individual very easily. They're making payments in big part of Facebook. But when you think about it long term, if you connect your credit card, you know, as simple as connecting a credit card to your Facebook account, and you can make a transaction with one click, you know, if you see something in the newsfeed and you want to buy this item, you just click this, buy it. Amazon has really simplified, you know, the marketplace, and you just one click, you buy it, ship to your house, 2-day shipping. It's right there. And I think if Facebook can kind of integrate that simplicity to the process, when you're billing information, you're shipping information, it's all within Facebook, one click and the purchase is made. That makes retail, you know, a big opportunity. But I would say here's where it's a big deal for churches. When you think about donations, if somebody can donate to your church, or they can donate to your cause with one click, their credit card or their bank information is already connected to their account. And with that one click, they can say, I want to donate to that. I want to support this cause. And they don't have to log in. They don't have to put in their billing information. They don't have to do all of that process. It's already connected. I think it's going to be a game changer for churches and donations, that really, we continue to see it easier and easier when it comes to text to give and some other online giving platforms. But Facebook, you know, that's where people are engaged and connected and living. They integrate that into Facebook, and that could be a huge opportunity for churches.
I just can't wait till, and I know you have to release it, and you see some early adopters like starting to use it in a creative way. I think there's so much potential. I think about how, like, with video, even going back to the video, how I can't wait till somebody does, like, with the no audio thing on a stream, like they do something fun, like, hey, play the, like they're almost not talking and they're trying to get you. And then if you're already listening, you're like, hey, I'm just trying to get the people that haven't clicked yet. So here, you know, I remember that with Instagram, how a couple people did the, like, cause you can touch to like it. Well, like, people had done touch it with your nose to like it, like kind of jokes. Like, and those are fun interactive ways to kind of, you know, they're kind of creative marketing kind of hooks, but they're playful. And I think the cool thing is that you can hook it into the identity of your church, that, you know, maybe you are playful, you're fun, you're not so rigid, and you can do some marketing efforts in that way with video and with a variety of things, even with promoting things and items, you know. And I think ultimately, you're not trying to sell something, you're trying to resource somebody. And so if you can do that through a Facebook page, that'd be wisely. The same thing with giving. Giving isn't about getting money, it's an act of spiritual discipline. And so those are just things that the Bible teaches. And so I think there's ways you can better leverage, you know, definitely texting and giving is a huge door. So many more and more people are doing that. So I just think there's so much potential as we talk through this. So I can't wait. If your church is doing something with video on Facebook or with selling stuff like that or promoting stuff, you know, use the hashtag SMC podcast. We would love to hear that. And maybe we could share it on the next show.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about the topic at hand. And this is a sensitive topic. Let's talk about politics and social media. Jay, I don't know about you, but even in this podcast, like me bringing it up, I'm nervous to talk about it. Like, I'm nervous to say something that's going to get my church in trouble, or that's going to create an awkwardness. Because when you talk about politics, you're stepping on somebody's toes. And so for me to say, let's talk about politics, but let's talk about not talking about politics. Yeah. There's people that are saying, like, you don't care about politics. Politics are important. And they are important, but they can be very dangerous for the church as well. I'm curious your thought when it comes to church leaders and politics and social media, and what do we do? How do we navigate this?
I was hanging out with, I was at my house, and every week my wife has some of her friends over, and I just happened to be home, and I was working on my computer in my living room, and I saw that they were talking about politics, and they were talking specifically about Trump. Donald Trump.
You said it.
I know. I started up.
Coming already.
But it was so funny to listen to these like three, and not these three, there was like five women like talking through politics, and none of them are super political. They were just talking because Trump has kind of broke that, you know, he's not, you know, some of these average, you know, people that don't, you know, necessarily jump off the page, right. But they were making all these general assumptions. Well, if as a Christian, we would vote this way, right? Or we would do this. And it was so funny to listen to things that were coming out of their mouths, because some of it was good. Some of it, I was like, why do you think that? And, you know, I think for the most part, I definitely think that it's hypersensitive. And I think for the most part, a lot of people forget about a lot of these issues that maybe are very, maybe black and white in the Bible. Let's say take something like abortion that, you know, when life begins. Yeah, maybe your church has a stance on if abortion is wrong or right. You know, I don't think there's a lot of debate on that. I think what we forget is that regardless of our opinion, that we forget there is people in your congregation. If around 50 million, you know, babies have been aborted, most likely there is somebody in your congregation that has done an abortion. And so you may blankly say like abortion is wrong or do this, and you might post that thing on Facebook, but we forget all these things are laced with people and their stories, and most likely hurting stories. And so just like, you know, politically, it's just families vote certain ways, and geographically people vote different ways. And so it's just, we're so connected now that it's so polarizing. And so I just think the church as a whole, we need to be careful where we communicate and how we communicate. I think you can communicate one way to target a list with people who are members of your church or who have been baptized. I think you probably should communicate a different way on your public Facebook page that's going out to the masses. I think you got to pick your channels the same way you might talk about something more personally if you're in a room sitting across from them. But you may not say that if you're sitting on a stage with 300 people in front of you. Things can be misunderstood, misinterpreted. And so I think there's things inside the church that we could talk about, and there's things how we present it to outside. You just need to be wise. And I think it's just too quick. And honestly, a lot of it, people just spouting off, it's immaturity. It's just immaturity. They spout off, and you need to pick your line and when and where you communicate that. And truth is truth, but it also needs to be doused in a lot of love and a lot of context.
That's good. Well, I want to share a story from the last political election that we went through as a church. So our pastor is rarely hits the controversial subjects, rarely ends up, you know, I don't think we've ever been in the news for anything controversial. And he's really a loved, you know, icon in our city. But last political election, he posted, you know, and I don't remember the exact context of it. It wasn't on Facebook very long. But he posted something along the lines of, this is who I thought won that debate. Now, everyone took that to mean, this is who I think he should vote for, you know, for president, including the news station who showed up at our church the next weekend or the next day after that was posted on Facebook for only about 30 minutes. You know, it was up. It started a debate on Facebook. He deleted it. They screen captured it. They showed up at the church. He wasn't at church that day. They said that he declined an interview, and it was in the news, you know, that night that, this is, you know, the preacher is telling you who to vote for. It was a mess. It was a nightmare. And basically we've come to say, we're not going to talk about politics, you know, and so we had the debates. Trump has stirred up so much interest. And it is great for our church members to be interested in politics, because it is important, for our church members. But we have staff members who are, you know, sharing their opinions. And then people in our church assume, well, if a staff member thinks this is what the church collectively thinks.
Yeah.
So we are now having to coach our staff on not talking about politics. Now, what we say is educate yourself and vote. You know, voting is an important part of our citizenship in this country, but it doesn't, we as ministry leaders need to be careful about voicing our opinions, you know, in a public platform like social media. And so, but it's sticky, you know, because these are serious issues. These are issues that affect our churches and our congregants, and our staff members have opinions, but they've got to be careful because they're representatives of the church, and really every member is a representative. So it is a sticky, challenging platform for ministry leaders, for ministry assistants, for church members, navigating politics. But the truth is, we saw Barack Obama many people think he got elected because of his social media strategy.
Yeah.
Social media plays into how all of this works
and
elected.
And it's sad because like you have this generational divide almost where people think, well, they don't believe this or they don't know this. And it's like, you know, I have plenty of family that's like, well, there should be you should have to take a test or an IQ to say this, or you should do this to be able to vote. And there's all these like extreme statements. And I think it comes down to it that the church needs to be okay, needs to be more okay with conflict. I just think it's the settings. And, you know, yeah, we're going to become more and more divided. I mean, obviously it's the narrow road, the Bible says, that what we're representing, but that doesn't mean we need to, you know, highlight those narrow like areas. I think those things that make sense in one-on-one conversations or two or groups of people. And I think the more your church can have healthy, you know, environments where you can have a healthy conversation and or debate, I think those things are good. I think sometimes we hide away from them and we like act like, oh, that doesn't really matter. Well, ultimately, you know, the Bible says that God does elect and, you know, bring people in season and out of season. So I think we need to, you know, it is a right, at least in America, that we can vote and we have the ability to speak into that. And I think we should be talking about some of the issues, at least the moral things. You know, unfortunately, more and more each candidate's looking more and more alike. You know, it's like they're not necessarily that different. Just one might have better, you know, manners. but, you know, I think having... ultimately, it comes down to conflict. Just most people are scared of conflict. And I think we need to embrace that because I think there's a lot of growth that comes in conflict. And I think a lot of pastors are really skilled in that in counseling, at least church leaders. We have a lot of experience walking people through their crud. And I think some of those traits can be used in the political atmosphere of guiding people through some of this. Because I think whatever it is, you know, I just saw like, you know, the White House elected the first transgender staff member. You know, and I know everybody has an opinion on that. And everyone's like, well, that, you know, like you just read the tweets or whatever. And it's just like, well, okay, well, why? Why is that a big deal? Why isn't that a big deal? You know what I mean? And it's part of it is, you know, I'm fairly neutral in the sense of online. Because if you want to ask my opinion on something, I want to do it face to face. I want to tell you, like, here, I have plenty of friends here and there. You know what I mean? Let's talk about that. But I think the church needs to be, and we talked about this last show, just we are becoming better. And I think generally there's a good tone of it, but the more we can be better at engaging culture, I think that will do a ton for the gospel. Yeah. So I think even us talking about politics, being a little on edge, you know what I mean? It's like, well, yeah, you know what I mean? Let's just, you know, let's talk about it. Let's share it. I'm not going to post a whole video on it, but if you want to go to coffee, let's share it. Let's do this. And so it's a good conversation. And we would love to hear, you know, maybe pull a book out of Jimmy Fallon here, you know, hashtag, you know, SMC podcast, you know, your worst political, you know, a story from your church, you know what I mean? Like, let's hear it.
Yeah.
So we've covered Facebook live streaming, Facebook, changing the game in that area, even selling stuff. We talk about politics, man, we've kind of touched a little bit of everything.
Rick Warren just went live on Facebook right now. I just got to push.
Oh, did he?
during our podcast, just to highlight that live feature. So.
Dude, you put a camera in front of that guy, he can speak and anybody listens.
Well, now he's got a camera in his pocket.
Dude.
Anytime, any day.
He is a blast. He's so funny. I love it, dude. Okay, so for those listening, what we would love for you to do is that if you got a second, we would love for you to engage with us on Twitter with SMC Podcast. Share some future topics on what we should talk about. Share a bad political story maybe in the context of your church. And to learn more about us and the show generally and to sign up for our newsletter, you can go to socialmedia.church. And thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Social Media Church Podcast. Stop by socialmedia.church for the show notes and to learn more about Social Media Church. Please share this podcast with a friend and leave a review on iTunes or wherever you may be listening.